Wherever you are, Christ is with you. You are beloved of God, and God's care will always surround you. It is here in this place of worship. It is at work in our place of toil. It is at home in our place of rest. Be at peace and rejoice. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to Concordia United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Claire Douglas, and I'm so excited to be here with you all this morning. I have a couple of announcements. First of all, please be aware of the small groups and signups for our stewardship campaign. There's a sign-up board out in the fellowship hall, or not in fellowship hall, in the narthex. You will have time to meet with me. I will be at all six of them, and we will get to share some time together in fellowship. And we will also learn a little bit more about where our money goes, and talk a little bit about apportionments. When I found out that I got to do all of these, I decided I was going to take this opportunity to tell you what I wish you all knew about what happens outside of our local church. So I hope you'll join me in that time, and learn a little bit more about where all of the wonderful money that we send outside of our church goes. Couple of other announcements. One, join the choir. The choir is looking for some more people. So please come and join that beautiful ministry. It practices on Thursdays at 6:30. And then the second announcement I'm going to highlight is sign up for coffee fellowship. There's a clipboard in the fellowship hall. We are looking for people who are willing to bake some delicious treats and serve on Sunday mornings. Perfect. There is no one signed up for next Sunday. I am super on it. Oh. Somebody did sign up for next Sunday. Surprise! I really should check before I come in here. I'll start doing that.
You just signed up all
Oh, surprise, Emily signed up. Yay. Are there any other announcements I missed? Will you please stand and join me in singing We Are Called, number 2172.
Please join me in praise. Awake, rise up.
There is much to be done in the Lord's name today.
Get ready to worship and to serve God.
We are ready to hear God's word for us and to respond in action and love.
Open your hearts to God's will this day. Let us sing number 2173, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Let us pray. God of power and might, let your love shine on us and through us to others. Take the blindness from our eyes and our hearts. Give us the joy of knowing and serving you in all that we say, think, and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a special moment. I brought some pictures with me today. I'll show you these pictures first, and I'll try to show the congregation a little bit more, okay? So we'll see if you can figure out who's in these pictures. Oh, let's see if it'll go through all of them. Who is that? Do you know? No? Here to show you guys. That's my dog, right? This is Hero. But these pictures were taken a little while ago. She's a little bigger than that now. For those of you who have seen her, a lot of you saw her yesterday. She's a little bigger, isn't she? So these were taken when she was a puppy. And she was awfully cute when she was a puppy. She was about yay big, and she was really cuddly. And it was awfully fun to have her during that period of time. And I love these pictures because I love remembering that period of time. But if I'm going to be honest with you, I'm super glad she grew up beyond a puppy. And learned how to use the bathroom outside. That was a big step in our relationship. So even though I was really, really proud of her and I loved her very much when she was a little puppy, it was a real joy to watch her grow up. Have you ever seen a baptism? Mm-hmm. Yeah. A baptism is kind of like a puppy picture, a baby picture. When a person walks out of a baptism, they are babes in Christ. And they imagine that God looks down on them and is proud of them, just as he was when Jesus was baptized. And when Jesus came out of the water, God said, "This is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased." So even though it was the beginning of Jesus' life and ministry, God loved him too. And even though God is proud of his children, or God is proud of God's children, God doesn't want them to remain babies all their lives. Do you guys want to remain children all of your lives? No. Do you want to grow up someday? Yeah. Do you have goals? Kind of? Maybe? Do you have some ideas of what you might want to do when you grow up? Yeah. Drive a car? Yeah. That's typically high on the list, right? Teenagers? So even though God is proud of you now, God is still proud of you when you grow up. And God wants you to grow spiritually and physically stronger every single day. And we know that because God was proud of God's Son too. Pretty cool, huh? Yeah. Will you pray with me? Repeat after me. And congregation, will you join us? Holy God, thank you for babies and puppies. But thank you too for helping us grow. Thank you for helping us grow in our faith, that we may love you and truly make you proud every day. Amen. You guys can head back to your seats.
Proverbs 27, verse 17. Iron sharpens iron, and one person sharpens the wits of another.
Our second scripture reading for today comes from the book of Acts. Chapter 9, verses 26 through 30, and verses 11, or chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. When Saul, also known as Paul, had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, brought him to the disciples, and described for them how on the road he had seen the Lord, who had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He spoke and argued with the Hellenists, but they were attempting to kill him. When the believers learned of it, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution took over the place Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. And they spoke the word to no one except Jews. But among them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene who, on coming to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, also proclaiming the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number of them became believers and turned to the Lord. News of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he rejoiced and exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast devotion. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and he found him, and he brought him back to Antioch. So it was that for an entire year they met with the church and taught a great many people, and it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. This is the word of the Lord. We have another Pixar short. This is our last Pixar short. This one is called La Luna, and we're going to learn one more thing about friendship before we start talking about courage next week.
Oh! Come on. Good.
Movido, alá.
Helps to be on. I love that one. It's so sweet. Will you pray with me? Holy Creator God, you are a God of love and relationship. You have given us each other as a gift. We are beautiful expressions of your creativity and diversity. Help us to grow from one another and to hold close to each other, that we may be for this world an expression of your goodness, each and every day. In the name of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Enrico Casarosa put a lot of his Italian heritage into the short film La Luna. Casarosa was born in Genoa, Italy, and later moved to New York City in his 20s to study animation at the School of Visual Arts and Illustration at the Fashion Institute of Technology. Enrico Casarosa wanted the heartwarming story in La Luna to look like a hand-painted watercolor with all the richness and depth of a children's book. So he and the other artists for La Luna scanned hand-painted images and applied them to geometry to make them move. The visual effect, in my opinion, makes this story of family and growth look classic. Like a book you've grown up with, pored over the pages of many times, and love deeply. La Luna tells the story of a young Genoese boy, Bambino, who is being shown the family business for the first time by his father, Papa, and his grandfather, Nono. Right from the beginning, we discover that Papa and Nono have slightly different ways of accomplishing the same tasks. They present Bambino with a cap and disagree about the way the hat should be worn. Next, they travel to the moon, climbing a ladder where Papa and Nono both begin to teach young Bambino how to sweep stars that fall onto the moon. Papa prefers pushing a large broom, and Nono prefers sweeping back and forth with a smaller broom. Papa and Nono once again begin to argue with one another when a large star falls on the moon. Although Papa and Nono try many ways to remove the star, neither is successful. Then Bambino suddenly has an idea. He turns his cap backwards, grabs a hammer, and climbs to the top of the large star. When Bambino strikes it with the hammer, the whole star shatters, allowing the three characters to sweep it away easily. All three characters in this short movie each have something to share. Both Papa and Nono have wisdom. Although they have different ways of doing things, they have spent many nights sweeping. They know how to travel to the moon and how to secure their boat. They know how to sweep and what tool works best for them. But Bambino has a gift to share as well. When the two older men fail to dislodge the bigger star, it is Bambino's intuition and fresh eyes that allow him to truly see the star in front of him. It is his curiosity that causes him to examine the star closely and try something new. This fresh perspective helps all three of them achieve their mission to clear the stars from the newest section of the moon. One of the greatest gifts we can receive in friendship, indeed in all of life, is the opportunity to grow with one another. Everyone on this planet has a different story and a different way of looking at the world. We all see the stars and the people and the earth around us slightly differently. When we are in true relationship with one another, we begin to push each other, to open each other's eyes, to challenge each other to grow. Saul and Barnabas are a perfect example of friends who helped each other to learn and achieve great things. Saul had an unlikely start as a disciple of Christ. A devoted Jew, Saul was horrified by those professing to believe in a new Messiah. He was actively persecuting the early Christians and is even believed to have been present at the stoning of Stephen. There is no question that Saul was working to kill early Christians when one day on the road to Damascus, Saul had a remarkable conversion experience. Saul was struck blind and heard the voice of Jesus speaking to him, and Jesus told Saul to find a disciple of Christ called Aeneas who could heal him. After Saul received his healing, he began using the name Paul, and he traveled back to Jerusalem a changed man, ready to teach others about his faith and Jesus Christ. But the disciples in Jerusalem were naturally suspicious of Saul. After all, how were they to know that Saul wasn't faking his conversion to gain information and betray them? How were they to trust a man who sought out the disciples of Jesus in the past to destroy them and kill them? For Saul, his return to Jerusalem was far from the happy homecoming that he probably hoped for. But one man, Barnabas, decided to take Saul under his wing and vouch for him. Barnabas was a well-established and respected Christian leader. He brought Saul to meet with the apostles and described to them Saul's remarkable conversion. Barnabas explained that Saul had spoken boldly and publicly about his faith in Jesus in Damascus, that this conversion Saul was claiming to have experienced was real, and he was to be trusted. Thanks to Barnabas's faith and attention, Saul was accepted into the Christian community and was sent to Tarsus to witness to the community there. But that's not where Paul and Barnabas's story ends. Barnabas was sent out on a mission to visit a new Christian community in Antioch. People outside of the Jewish community in the town of Antioch heard about the miraculous life and death of Jesus and believed. Barnabas was sent to educate this grassroots community and help them grow in their faith. And who did Barnabas choose to be his number two? Why, Saul, of course. Barnabas went to Tarsus, found Saul, and brought him to Antioch, where they taught together for a year. In fact, it was in Antioch where Barnabas and Saul served that the term Christian was first coined. Clearly, Paul and Barnabas had a very successful ministry together in Antioch. Clearly, they changed a lot of lives and taught a lot of people the good news of the gospel. I like to think that a lot of their success had to do with the fact that they worked together so well. Barnabas starts out their relationship by being willing to be a mentor to Paul. He is already established in the Christian community, and although he could certainly go on his way without reaching out to a newly converted Christian with a very seedy past, Barnabas does not. He sees the potential in Paul, takes the time to vouch for him, and mentor him. Likewise, Paul, in his own right, helps Barnabas to grow as a person and in ministry. He travels with Barnabas to many places, supporting Barnabas's ministry and assisting him in changing the lives of others. One of the interesting things we see in the book of Acts is that when they first begin to travel together, the author lists them as Barnabas and Paul. But as Paul begins to gain a greater following and to become well-respected as a Christian leader in his own right, the author begins to list them as Paul and Barnabas. In some ways, the student becomes the teacher, and it's Paul, not Barnabas, who is most remembered today. We all need people in our lives like Paul and Barnabas. We need people who are willing to mentor us, people who step outside their comfort zones, see the potential in us, and push us to grow. We need people who have new and creative ideas, people who challenge the status quo and help us to become those who we are called to be. We need friends who journey with us, argue with us, and love us, ultimately becoming, in the words of one of my favorite songs, like a handprint on our heart. Now, before you leave this worship service with a smile on your face, only to go home and Google Paul and Barnabas, there's something you must know. Sadly, as close as Paul and Barnabas were in the first part of the book of Acts, what they are most known for is the fact that they argued and eventually parted ways, likely never to see each other again. Part of the story that most people remember isn't all of the wonderful ministry they did or all of the ways they helped each other learn and grow. What they are remembered for is that they could not come to agreement about whether to include a young disciple named Mark on their journeys, and that this disagreement ultimately ended their partnership. Isn't it sad how the things that divide us are the things that get remembered most? A lot of you have been wondering if I am aware and following the events that are occurring in our denomination around LGBTQIA. The short answer is yes. But to give you a little bit of background on me that you may not know, I became involved in my first conference-level leadership position at the age of 12. I have been a pretty consistent voting delegate at the Wisconsin Annual Conference for about 10 years now. In fact, Annual Conference is where I got to know and fell in love with my husband. So yes, I follow very carefully all of the conversations and decisions our church makes at a denominational and conference level. A lot of you have come to me over the past 3 months to share with me your feelings about what's happening to our church at large. I'd like to thank you for your time and your bravery. And I would like to share with all of you today an observation. At the time of the last presidential election, I read that more people, regardless of their political opinion, were genuinely afraid of what would happen if the person they voted for were not elected than at any other time in history. That's a lot of fear, folks. And science tells us that fear leads us to have one of three reactions. Adrenaline rushes through our system and we fight, fly, or freeze. I think the fear that we are seeing in our political climate is also present in many other areas of our society, including the church. And I have seen all three of these reactions in this church since I have arrived. There are those among us who seem ready to fight. There are most among us who seem ready to run. And there are those among us who seem to have frozen in place. But I believe the message of the gospel is antithetical to a message of fear. When we are afraid, we react in ways that we would not otherwise react. We say things we wouldn't otherwise say. We do things we are not proud of. The message of the gospel is one of love and hope and joy, not fear. As I shared with you before, the most common phrase in the Bible is, "Do not be afraid," and I believe that this is no accident. Like Paul and Barnabas, we are on a journey together, a journey of ministry and mission to the world around us. This will not be a short journey. It will be a journey that will last many years. And I have thought a lot in the past 6 months about what my role is as a pastor on this journey. Because the truth is, when I received my call to ministry 10 years ago, I never thought I would be leading a church through this kind of conflict. The word pastor comes from the Latin word pascere, which means pasture. It refers to the fact that pastors are simply shepherds of their people. I don't make decisions, folks. I'm a guide. And I've come to the conclusion that it is my job as your shepherd to give this church its best shot at survival. This is a 120-year-old church, and I would love to see it exist for another 120 years. Sometimes the decisions that will lead us to another 120 years may not be the decisions I would personally choose. Sometimes these decisions may not be in the time frame I would personally like to see. But my job is not to impose my personal objectives on all of you. It's to lead you into greater community with one another. The truth is, we've been given a wonderful opportunity, and that is good news and bad news. The good news is that over the course of the next years, we have the opportunity to redefine who we are as a community of God. We get to redefine who we are as a people of faith. We get to answer that all too important question, why do people need this church? This is an opportunity that not everyone gets in their lifetime. We get to decide who we are as a local church, as an annual conference, and as a denomination of 12.7 United Methodists worldwide. The bad news is that this means that there will be changes. And deep down inside, none of us like change. It's scary and disruptive. I have a vision for Concordia United Methodist Church, and I believe that we can achieve this vision. And this vision is one that is greater than one statement or one vote or one conversation or one issue. I have a vision of who we can become as a radically welcoming community. A community that shows its radical welcome by having children run up and down the aisles of the sanctuary during worship. I have a vision of us as a community where we can join together in laughter and in diversity of thought and theological opinion, learning from one another and growing on a daily basis. And yes, a community where our LGBTQ+ siblings will feel welcomed and loved as beautiful creatures of God. I think we can get there together. My goal is to get there together. But in order to get there, we're all going to have to start listening to each other. We're going to have to approach this as a time of growth with one another. Every growth spurt has pains, so I can promise you that we may not always be comfortable. We may not always get exactly what we want when we want it, but we can get there together. My prayer for us as a community is that we will not part ways like Paul and Barnabas, that we will grow daily from the gift that is each and every person in this room, that we will not give in to the temptation of fear and arguing, and that through our love and growth we may become the beautiful vision of God's welcoming community that we are called to be. Amen and amen. Will you please stand and join with me in singing hymn number 660, God is Here. Thank you. I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward to receive our tithes and our offerings. Freely we have received from God, let us freely give. The September Melodies of Compassion will go to the Reedsburg Hispanic Ministry.
Let us pray. Holy God, you work wonders beyond our imagination. Thank you for all of the faithful people you have inspired in the history of the Church. You have sent into our lives kind Christians who have encouraged us in beautiful ways. Help us to keep growing as disciples led by your Spirit. May we become more devoted to good works and acts of charity, so that others will be blessed in turn. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite you to share any prayers that you may have this morning, and I would ask that you allow me to share a couple first. First, we pray for Terry Hansen. Barb and Doug's daughter, she's having back surgery this week, right? And you're traveling to be with her, correct? Yeah. We pray that that will be really, really successful. I know she's in a lot of pain. We pray that her pain would be relieved and that she would return home to her family quickly. Absolutely. We also need to pray for Tim and Kari. Kari was on her way back from Colorado, and she had a heart attack. So she's in Omaha, Nebraska, in the hospital there, and received word from Tim that she got a stent put in and she's doing well and she should be back in about a week. But how scary to have that occur at any time, but particularly when you're away from home. So we pray that that she would recover quickly and that she would return home to all of us. Are there any other prayers that we have this morning? Well, I have been thinking a lot about our candle prayer for today, and it is Rosh Hashanah, which is the beginning of the Jewish New Year, starting today. So I think we should pray for all of our Jewish brothers and sisters that they have a wonderful New Year. This is their biggest holiday of the year. Have lots of wonderful time with friends and family. So that is going to be my candle prayer for today. Would you take a time to silently pray? God of love and life and goodness, the creation that you have made is beautiful beyond our imagination. And we, your children, are a part of that beautiful creation. You have made each one of us different, beautiful, unique, and yet in your own image. And we know that you love each of us and walk alongside us each and every day. Lord, we pray that you would walk particularly this week with those with health concerns, that you would help them to grow stronger day by day, that they may continue to reflect your love and goodness into the world. Lord, we pray this week particularly for those with cancer. We know how hard it is to experience an illness that takes you away from those who you want to be with, that takes you away from your vocation and your life. Lord, we pray that you would walk alongside those experiencing cancer and that you would help them to know that they are still your beautiful and beloved creations who you care for deeply. Lord, we pray this week particularly for those who are in long-term care facilities or who are home confined. We know that you can see all of us, that you know all of us, and you find all of us right where we are. We pray that they would know that you are with them this week. And Lord, we pray particularly for our brothers and sisters of other faiths, particularly our Jewish brothers and sisters, that they may have a wonderful and successful New Year and plenty of time and laughter with friends and family. We pray all this as we pray the prayer you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we go forward from this place, let us remember that we are on a journey together, a journey of ministry and mission to the world, and that with God by our side, there is no way that we can fail.